This is Andy Owens, and I'll be reading from Cynthia Ozick's Heir to the Glimmering World, Chapter 36, pages 163 to 165. Mrs. Knitwisser had lost interest in her playing cards. She handed them to me with a single angry syllable, "No," and again, "No," and because I continued to demur, what was I to do with them? "Nine!" And when I failed to take them from her quickly enough, she tossed them to the floor, where they fanned out in confusion. She had gone back to dozing in the afternoon, but at night she was horribly awake, watchful, suspicious of every sound. She flicked her eyes from side to side. In the half-light they were dim marbles rolling. She sat up in bed, listening. "What was that?" "It's Waltraud, a little night cough." The child was bewildered. Her nose chafed and leaked. She had caught cold, as if from grief. So recently befriended, so seriously coddled, the dolls on the stairs, her mother's closeness, her mother's look, all abruptly withdrawn. She could not puzzle it out, and even Annalise and James. Gert shook her off. Willie shook her off. But Heinz took her by the hand and showed her the long wire that was to be the aerial, the short wire that connected the crystal, the copper wire that had to be wound around the coil, the capacitor with its interleaved wings, the funny earphones that turned him into a sort of animal. All these strange things were scattered on the big table in the dining room. Knitwisser never troubled to look. "What is that? Who comes?" The front door opened and closed. Annalise and James, returning past midnight. Their outings, how else to name those recurring eclipses, were growing longer and later. But Mrs. Knitwisser, tremulous, let out a terrified croak, "Dear man!" And another time, when a passing car with an injured muffler roared by on our ordinarily silent street, "This boy! This boy!" This boy. The house was full of boys, Willie, the beautiful one, and Gert, and Heinz, and the aftermath, the material residue, of the bear boy. "Your father," she threw out, "this boy." He was alive in her mind, the boy whose body was broken up, together with my father's, on the rainy road to Saratoga, the boy she had taken no notice of when I dropped the rough stone of my father's crime into the rolling stream of her errant desires. But it had struck deep. It had lodged itself. She had swallowed it down. The stone lay in her belly. "This boy your father kills, who is he?" I never found out his name. A schoolboy. My father was his teacher. "It was an accident," I said. "It was night and wet. He teaches what, your father?" "Mathematics." "But my father's dead." "To this boy who has no name, he teaches death." Her voice had the bitterness of words incised in blood. "My Heinz," she said. "He wears my husband's name, but he is not my husband's boy." And wrathfully, "I tell you before." But she had told me the boy was loved. "My husband will do like your father. He will kill this boy. One day he kills him." She had reverted to nightmare. She had usurped my father's nightmare. I saw in the conflagration of her seeing the critical logic of what hardly deserved the name of madness. Nothing was obscured. Reality burned and burned. She knew and she knew. In the shadowed seclusions of our little house on a forgotten street, in a nondescript cranny that turned its back on everything urban, hidden in cattails along the lip of a bay where the tide, going out, left behind the odors of seaweed and birdlust, here in her nightgown, alert to the subterranean calamities of the world, sat the Sibyl. All masks fell, or else all wore masks, in a teeming of reminders and representations. The past was the present was the past. The meaning of one thing was the meaning of another. All meanings were one. Into this cauldron of allness a familiar evil had burst, wearing the mask of Ninel, and behind it a procession of upheavals unmasked, the black car circling, the dead boy, the son who was and was not a son, and James, always James, invader, usurper, thief, all one. The house was in disorder. Gert and Willie had become enemies. They fought with fists and lungs and teeth. They fought over property. Who owned what? Whether James had given the kaleidoscope to Gert or the mechanical frog to Willie or vice versa. Heinz let go of Waltraud's hand, retreating beast-like behind his earphones, tapping the wire into the crystal, catching invisible whirrings out of the air, while Waltraud ran wailing from boy to boy, crying for breakfast, crying for supper, and Annalise drifted through the maelstrom, powerless, detached. Her notebooks lay unopened. Her eyes were fury. She kept them on James, sidewise, with a slyness new to her. And here was James, jumping into the cacophony, edging it on, promising new frogs, new kaleidoscopes, promising property heaped on property, a friend to anarchy and greed. His teacup dallied on the sideboard. It gave out its familiar fume, and he visited it often, sometimes scooping up Waltraud, who wriggled wildly, or deflected en route by an excited boy's pummeling. "Wild, wild Waltraud, wild Willie, wild Gert!" Heinz in communion with the ether, deaf to bedlam, Annalise in trance, earrings glinting like bits of shattered glass.